I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Making stuff is hard. Especially in the entertainment world, where big egos, bigger budgets, and just plain bad luck can make things go horribly wrong. And we're going behind the scenes of these disastrous, never-ending, and often dangerous productions to find out why it was a shit show.
Hello, fellow Jellicle cats.
Oh, Jellicle cats.
Oh boy. This is It Was a Shit Show. My name is Ian, joined by Clint.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hello.
And with us is a very special guest. Not only was she a member of Clint and I's improv troupe back in the day, she was also a co-host with Ray's previous podcast, Womansplaining. Mm-hmm. Melissa, thanks for joining.
Hey, thanks. Yay. I'm excited to be here.
Not as excited as me. Oh, my God. I was, every time you canceled and rescheduled, because I'm going to make sure that this is on the recording, I was just like,
A dozen times.
Yeah. Well, I was like, every time I was like, oh, I want to record with Melissa so bad. And then she canceled. Like, Jesus Christ. And then finally, we're here on a Monday night, which is awkward.
But and she's handcuffed
being
to
out
me.
In yeah, public yeah. On a Monday night is awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're naked. So, you know.
Yeah.
Even more.
So, with our third anniversary passing, I figured today would be a good time to watch another cat heavy film like Roar.
Oh.
This is the made up reason I came up for watching Cats.
Good grief.
But the reason we have Melissa with us today is because she works in the theater business. Can you give an idea of what you do?
Yeah, I have worked directing, designing, choreographing musicals, stage theater, off and on for the last 23 years, which is gross.
So, I like how you turned to Clint to like fill in the blank for you.
Clint,
right, 23 years.
Stop me if I'm too old. It's happened.
Yeah, anytime I see a play and I need to talk to somebody about it, it's always Melissa. I'm like, Melissa, I gotta break down what they did in this stage production with somebody.
Like, yes, it was horrifying. You're right.
This was bad, right? Yes. Okay, thank you.
Well, since we're talking about a film adaptation of a Broadway hit, and maybe not the last, and maybe we'll talk about actual plays in the future, I wanted the closest person I could get that was involved in the theater industry. So
Ian,
thank you.
Please, it's the theater.
So today, let's talk Cats.
Meow.
Now, I have never seen Cats. Can you tell me or explain to me what the plot of Cats is?
Wow. What a way to throw me under the bus there.
Yes.
No, it's a classic. It's a big musical.
Sure,
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Right.
And it is, I guess it's about a cat.
Maybe more than one.
How
maybe
am I
more
doing? How am I doing?
Very okay. good.
And it's one cat's journey towards what is essentially cat heaven.
Okay.
And the idea is that we all, you know, we aspire to get towards cat heaven. There's this young cat, and she gets sort of, you know, taken on this story about how to get to cat heaven or what you should do to get into cat heaven. How am I doing? Does anyone know what the story is?
That is the best explanation of the plot of Cats I have ever heard.
I was going to say, when you said our names at the head of the start of the podcast, I was like, Ian, the naming of hosts is a difficult thing.
Yeah. What's your real guy? What's your real host name?
What's our cat names?
Cat names.
Those names, man, in that show.
Ray, Rennie, Jenny Dots. That's me.
Yeah, but that
Jenny Dots.
I'm just making up. Do some we bullshit. Get?
Do they ever tell you if there's a like? Okay, so it was Jenny
Any Dots.
Jenny Any Dots. Is her household name Jenny?
No, they don't. I don't think they ever tell you like her person name.
Okay.
Because it doesn't matter.
Fucking nonsense. Okay, well, hey, let's get started with that.
How does a cat like its steak?
Oh no.
Get out of here.
That is my 4-year-old's favorite joke. She loves it.
Okay, we're going back to 1981. Andrew Lloyd Webber debuted his latest Broadway musical, Cats, based on the poems of T.S. Eliot. Ugh. So this is, Jenny Ray was like, isn't this based on something really nonsensical?
Because I looked it up one time because I was like, the fuck is this show about? And I was like, T.S. Eliot poems? Like, that's what it's based on? It's like so obscure. It's so obscure.
Yeah. And one of the first things that Jenny Ray was like, why? Why is this such a thing? And after it was over, and I'll say, maybe the biggest scam in all of history, because it is the fourth longest running Broadway show, grossing nearly $4 billion worldwide.
Wow.
I don't understand.
Explain, Melissa.
Mega
explain.
Musical.
Yes.
It's like the blockbuster, right, of musicals. And it's because its production values was one of the first to be the biggest thing you've ever seen on stage. So the singing had the pop music songs that were going to be popular, and it had the giant ballads that everybody was going to sing, every artist was going to remake. And then the dancing was phenomenal, and the sets were larger than life. So this was like the first one before your Les Mis and Phantom. It opened the door for all of those. In fact, it started as Meg musical, but now it's like your pop opera, pop musicals, which is even where Hamilton, you know, opened the door for all of
those. Now it's like a punchline and a whole bunch of like other pop culture things.
Right, right.
No, I mean, we could just get into that. But I literally, the song, I always thought it was Memories.
Yeah.
Memories. Like that. I don't know why I know that.
Same.
I sat there and I pulled up a list of like every time Cats is mentioned in pop culture.
Yeah.
And I went through 4 different episodes of The Simpsons. But I was pulling up all these things going like, it's got to be somewhere referenced in something that we watched as kids, like Animaniacs or something crazy, because I cannot – why do I know that?
From Cats, yeah. Now, why it was made from T.S. Eliot – is T.S. Eliot American? I think he's
British.
Because, it was created in the U.K. and opened there, and then it came to U.S.
Mm.
But I always wondered – that I don't know. T.S. Eliot.
Melissa, stop trying to excuse this bullshit musical.
I have no excuses. But it did. The one positive thing about it is that it opened this huge, like, everything was bigger, right?
Hmm.
And that's awesome because those are a lot of musicals I do like. But it's horrifying.
Right.
Okay.
Horrifying.
Are you a fan?
No, I am not a fan. But the song Memory will get me choked up anytime I hear it. It's confusing.
Yeah.
I have mixed
feelings about it.
I don't ever remember seeing this as a kid, but I think my mom had like a VHS copy of like the stage show. And I remember them all like just in their spandex with like the crazy makeup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which oddly enough, works better than anything that we saw in the movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 100%.
We'll talk at that. We'll get there.
And a huge coming of age moment for all the girls that I knew that were watching Cats growing up, because we were like, oh, hello. I like boy cats. Like that, you know, between the recording of Cats and then Newsies, we were like, okay, we know. Thank you for confirming that.
But T.S. Eliot was born in St. Louis, Missouri.
What? Oh, shut up.
There you go.
Well,
damn, I was wrong. That's exactly. They were like, we're going to write a crazy ass musical based on poems from some crazy ass American.
Yeah.
Americans.
Yeah.
From what I remember, they were like fairy tale. Like, they were like silly poems he wrote his kids to just be like, cats are weird. I'm just going to like write a silly little poem for my kid to talk about like all the mysterious things that cats do
and their personalities. And
yeah. And so, like,
what?
I was telling Ian, if this had been a musical for kids, like if it had been very sort of like, oh, just funny and kind of poppy and like silly songs, I would have been like, yeah, of course. But then like there's this dramatic tone that happens. It's like, this isn't serious, people. It's about fucking cats. Like, everybody calm down. Okay, sorry.
We'll get into it.
Tell me. Okay. Yes, tell us the facts.
All
tell
right,
us about
so
it.
This weirdly popular play has had an adaptation in the works for a while. Starting in, guesses?
1982.
The 80s must have spurred this.
I mean,
1990.
Yeah.
Okay. It makes me sad that any years were, like,
considered.
Any time was spent working on this.
Well, and guess who got the rights from Lloyd Webber?
Bono.
A crack addict on the street.
Dame Judi Dench.
She's had it this whole time.
Yeah.
She's like, listen, I can't sing worth shit, but I'm going to be in it.
In the first one.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg.
Oh my God, I was going to say that. Wow. I don't know why. I just like, in my mind, I was like, Spielberg?
So he got the rights for whatever reason, and nothing really came of it until 1994, where Amblimation was established by Spielberg. After Who Framed Roger Rabbit. They produced only 3 films. So based on our 90s VHS upbringings with the Amblimation's logo, with their mascot, Fievel, can you guess those 3 films?
An American Tale.
Fievel Goes West.
An American Tale, Fievel Goes West. And
Rockadoodle. All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Cats Don't Dance.
Ooh. Fievel Goes West, yes.
Not an American Tale, though?
No. Because that was way before.
Oh, okay.
That's where they got the...
not All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Nope.
The Secret of Nim.
We're back.
Oh my God, A Dinosaur Story.
We're back.
Holy shit, I love that movie. You guys, great movie.
And a dog movie.
We're back, A Dog Story. We're back again.
Balto.
Oh, Balto. Okay.
Cold dog story. I don't know.
So the idea was to mix scale models for the sets and use traditional animation for the characters, which is actually kind of like would be really kind of interesting.
That would
to
be
see,
kind of fun.
Which is also kind of what we saw.
Is that what we saw?
I don't even know what I saw. Yeah. I don't know.
So they spent 6 months in pre-production, like sitting there designing all these sets and all these things. And you can look those up and you can see all these images of their ideas for it.
Cat town.
Before,
like, we should just move here. It's
a
new city.
They just built a set. But everybody has to dress as a cat.
That's the rule. I'm
so,
the mayor.
But everyone had to move over and help finish Balto. The project restarted with a whole new team and a screenplay by Tom Stoppard.
Oh, yeah, the playwright.
Another playwright who did Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, which was one of his big ones. So it's, I think it's very interesting that it's like having one playwright adapt a different playwright. Like,
it's every playwright's dream. Yes. Here, take this and
make
do
it better.
You
want.
Take this and make it not terrible. You got it.
So the problem since day one is, how do you write a 3-act structure when the musical has no narrative?
Correct.
And
you just pass out drugs to everyone coming into the theater.
Yeah,
that is a brilliant idea. Full disclosure, I saw this movie once, and I was completely tanked when I saw it. So
I wish I was.
I remember some things.
But was it a pleasant memory or still a negative memory? Because I guess that would be
clincher. I drank so much that I vomited, but I'm pretty sure it was from actually watching the movie.
Yeah.
Did you rewatch it?
No.
Oh, I was.
I'm not going to subject myself to that.
Someone didn't do their homework.
I did do my homework just a long time ago while I was inebriated.
A long time ago and wasted, which is the only way to watch this movie. No, we were painfully sober. I think we didn't speak for the first 20 minutes, and then Ian just turned to me and goes, should I turn on the subtitles? And I was like, please.
Like 5 minutes.
For the love of God. I have no idea what's going on.
I thought you were going to say we didn't talk to each other for 3 days.
For 3 days. Yeah.
We watched we didn't talk to each other for 3 days.
No, it was, we watched it at 2 p.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
And there was a very great moment during it where I fell asleep. And then Jay Ray had to wake me up and rewind it.
I was slapping him on the face. I was like, if I have to watch this bullshit, you have to watch this bullshit. Wake up. Psh, 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 psh.
So Lloyd Webber also was adamant that the film not lose one song. So after Balto bombs, Amblimation...
Surprisingly.
Amblimation was closed in 97. The entire staff joined the newly created DreamWorks Animation working on...
Shrek.
Shrek?
What was before that?
Oh, Spirited, the dog, the, no,
there was
fuck,
the, a time before Shrek.
No, shit, hold on. There's two other movies. Prince of Egypt, the horse one. What the fuck is that
the
one?
Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron?
Yeah, that fucking
Ants.
Horse.
Anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
Not even close. The horse movie. The animal that was big, though, for sure. It wasn't a small animal. If there's one thing I remember clearly, it was a large animal.
Well, Ian does this thing where he's like, I get so nervous. He's like, doing
pop quiz.
Like, oh, fuck. It's something we've talked about. What are we talking about? After three years of doing the show and 40 plus episodes.
I'm going to get whipped off of the podcast.
I know. Jesus. We keep telling him I'm going to get replaced. It's because of this shit right here.
He's constantly trying to prove himself.
Yeah.
Because then afterwards, I could be like, did I do good, Ian?
You'll never get my approval.
That's okay. If you do like me, just comment Clint in this episode.
If there's anything that we learn from Cats, it's that James Corden could definitely replace you.
And he did!
That cuts deep, you know. I thought we were friends. We've known each other for years, Melissa.
Okay. So, all that Amblimation thing is why the movie starts out with Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment is on the credits of the film.
Oh, because he has had the rights and sold them the rights? Okay. Yeah.
So, if you noticed that.
I did, and I was like, and then I just forgot about it immediately.
It went away.
I mean, I missed it because I was already three shots in.
Yeah. What is that, a bike?
That man's still a baby?
Crashing into the moon.
All right, let's focus.
Watch out.
Okay. Then in 1996, hot off their Oscar nomination for Toy Story, Joel Cohen and Alex Sokolow signed on, asked to rework Stoppard's script, because apparently his was not good enough. Nothing
only
comes
so
of...
much that you can work with. He's like, I don't know anymore. Does anyone else want to look at this?
Maybe that's all it was, is like, I give up.
I give up. Something.
He's
cats.
Like, the naming of Cats... I give up. I'm out of here.
This shit is bananas.
Yeah.
What the fuck is a Rum Tum Tugger?
Well,
that's his name.
It's a name.
You should ask Lisa.
She's like, who told you about that? Did Melissa tell you about that?
That's her move.
That's my move.
I thought that was secret girl code. Damn it.
Okay, so nothing comes of this script, and at some point, Universal gains the rights. So fast forward all the way to 2013, Lloyd Webber says that Universal is suddenly interested in making the movie again, thanks to the enormous success of...
Les Miserables.
Yes. Which was under Universal. Mm-hmm. Directed by Tom Hooper, grossed $440 million, nominated for 8 Academy Awards. So like, they're like, oh, clearly there's something there. Let's do it again.
He can do musicals.
This yeah. is like, but
he
like,
he can't cast musicals, but yeah. he can do them.
Yeah. The shows are, Melissa has an opinion about this that I want to hear later, but I was just going to say that those two musicals are fucking apples and like kumquats. Like, they are not similar.
Apples and worms.
And like, not even fucking close. Like, an epic, beautiful story about the French Revolution and like some bullshit about cats. Not even close.
So in May of 2016, so 3 years later, Tom Hooper signs on to direct the film. So we got the same studio, same director. What could go wrong, right? Mm. When he signed on, he was already developing it for a few years because Universal wanted him to have a plan to figure out whether it should be live action, CGI, or they even considered really good puppets.
He was like, yes, we'll, all three. We'll just...
put them all in.
Sure.
Now it's a Muppet movie. Just damn, that would be so much better.
It would have been so much
better.
We'll
just get real cats. It worked for, yeah. it worked for that movie about the dog and the cat. They're
cats trying, versus dogs?
No, they're trying to find the home.
Homecoming.
Homeward Bound. Bound.
Homeward yeah. Bound.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
Well, the end of that.
Make her cry.
So he had to have a plan to make this work before it was greenlit. Clint, you're going to be our Tom Hooper.
I thought maybe it's never been made because no one can figure out what the cats should look like. And maybe some visual effects technology might have opened up a portal to re-examining how you might do that. And so began a 7-year journey to figure out what the answer was.
Real quick, what do you mean to figure out what cats should look like? It's like the one animal everyone knows Everybody what knows. Looks like.
Well, a cat on a human.
A cat, yeah.
or whether
We've
or not.
We've been doing it for 100 years on stage, but now let's figure out.
yeah, yeah.
There's like.
What it should look like.
There's like three options. There's fully animated. There's people in costumes, and then there's this bullshit that they did.
This wasn't an option.
And this was, well, this like, it was an option, but it was like the bad choice. Because fully animated and people in costumes would have been better. Mm-hmm. Like, hands down.
Well, so they spent a year working on makeup tests, just seeing if they could pull it off. This is Tom Hooper.
The difficulty was you ended up with a full-faced prosthetic where you lost so much emotion, and you also still got static cat ears on the head. It's crazy not to move the ears, so all the paths seemed to lead me back to the visual effects.
As if people who've been watching the musical for decades have been like, the ears aren't moving. Damn it. The ears aren't moving.
There's
the
not.
Memory, what memory? The memory of the cat ears not moving?
Like, there's no emotion cares. In their face without the ears moving.
This quote actually really pisses me off because this seems like, when you look at the final film, it's essentially the human face with whiskers on it. Mm-hmm. They didn't add like puffy cheeks when they usually do, like a person becomes a cat
yeah.
or whatever, where they add like extensions to their lips and mm-hmm. cheeks and stuff like that. It's just their faces with whiskers on it.
Well, that would have been like the mustache Superman situation where like they yeah. were moving and the images
yeah.
just been fuzzy.
But why not do everything? So if that was what the look was going to be end up looking like anyway, why not do all of that in makeup and make the ears visual effects?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, smart.
I don't know how that never came up.
Get Hollywood on the phone.
Yeah. Ian, you should have made this movie.
I was thinking of Where the Wild Things Are, the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where, like, those are full suits, and then they just animated the face. And so, like, it was a perfect melding of the two.
Yeah.
And so it's like, why not just do that with the ears and the tail? Mm-hmm. And it just drives me crazy that they apparently spent 7 years journey to figure out what we ended up with.
Again, and it was so popular on Broadway where people could see the full emotion of what was happening on stage. And all of a sudden they were like, we don't know. We don't know what they're feeling. We've never...
Yeah, it's almost like they've gotten so far away from it that they forgot where they started, start was.
Although I will say that doing like acting for a stage performance is very different from acting for like film because it's more quiet and more
that.
Like personal. So like when you're on Broadway, you can be like big and loud and huge, and like when you're on film, you can't be that way or like you'll look insane.
Well, and that's the problem with this show turning it into a TV film is that the whole part of it is spectacle. Large spectacle, not close up on a cat's face.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. This is like Ian's problem with turning Broadway musicals into movies it's fucking weird when someone is singing at you in a close-up.
When Judi Dench just turned to the screen at the end of that movie and just started singing to the camera, I was like, what is happening now?
Yeah. And then you like thought the musical was over after every
her first line.
Phrase
yeah.
that she sang. You're like, yes. Should we go? Is it? Okay, you're still singing?
No.
Oh, one more yet? Line?
Oh, my God. I
and
was,
now
yeah.
should I leave? You're still singing.
Yeah, cool. That's exactly what I what was like. Happening? I was like, won't this end? Please just end
she's,
now.
She's still going. I think she's just improvising extra lines to the end of this musical now.
what you said about casting, the terrible casting of Les Mis, both Russell, Hugh Jackman wow. and Anne Hathaway were asked to star, and both were
I thought
busy.
You were going to say asked to stop. Asked to
please
stop,
stop.
Filming. Just kidding, they were great.
Well, I mean, what's his name shows up. So I know you're saying like Russell Crowe is really terrible in Les Mis, but who was the random guy that Ray Winstone, who shows up as like the cat on the barge?
Oh, yeah.
And he
yeah,
was
yeah,
really
yeah,
terrible
yeah.
singing, and it was like, why is
Growl Tiger?
Yeah, and he has like three lines, yeah. and it was like, yeah. why him?
Yeah. yeah. I mean, why this whole movie? Okay, but continue.
Okay.
For a second, I was getting that mixed up with Les Mis, and I was like, I don't remember the cat on the barge.
you don't remember that Les Mis?
To me where that came from.
Is that cat the one that stole the bread?
Yes. or the silverware.
Was that damn cat. He went to jail for that.
Yeah. Taylor Swift, when she joined, she helped Andrew Lloyd Webber with the new song, Beautiful Ghosts. Which is what I was saying. It's like there's actually a story to that because I actually think that is the one song I did like in the movie.
It's so good.
Yeah. That,
and,
well, that and
because,
memory.
Well, it's T-Swift, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, okay. So this
Swift,
is crazy
Swift,
to me.
Swift, any of the Swifties in here?
It's okay.
I don't know what everything means, but I'm a fan.
She's fine.
Webber says he regretted not ever giving Victoria a song in the play, mm-hmm. which seems insane to me to be like, this is the main character, and I never gave
she's
her a song.
She's just the storyteller, though. Like, that's all.
She's just
that's
the entry point.
She's the person
audience.
Exposition is thrown
yeah.
at.
Yes, exactly. exactly. Yeah.
yeah. I mean,
a stand-in
that's
for
true.
The audience.
She's
the
definitely listener. Not a character.
No. Completely cardboard, yeah.
But one of the ones that was actually a dancer hired to play in this, which
yeah.
the whole thing is built for.
Yeah.
Yeah. seems like for every
I'm supposed
step
to be
the...
on here to talk about all the good things about musicals, not the musical.
This is not the
with.
One.
okay, so the actors and dancers had to attend cat school to be more cat-like.
No.
The minute I saw that on my schedule, I'd be like calling my agent to quit the show.
Hi.
I know this was called Cats, but I'm not going to cat school.
You want to go to cat school with Idris Elba?
Change my mind. I'm in. Scratch that.
But then like you have to like then you kind of might lose respect for Idris Elba because you're like watching him like
or gain it right because like I guess to have the just yeah,
why the fuck
act
not
like a cat.
But like
corner.
I don't know if I would want Idris Elba watching me try to act like a cat. I would just be like, look, I'm already clumsy and uncoordinated and like.
No landing on the feet over here.
Well, yeah, but okay, but there's a difference between going to like dancing where you're doing choreography. Mm-hmm. There's another thing where this cat school is where they had to like crawl around on the ground and like meow at each other and like rub against
you
each
guys,
other. Like being an actor is
me
awkward.
Into like theater school where we would do mirror exercises
yeah.
for
yeah.
an hour. I paid for this in college in upper education.
All right. So, however, Hooper would go back and forth on their performances when they were actually on set. This is Taylor Swift. Jenny Rain will be our Taylor Swift.
Okay. She
don't
says
don't make all the what are they called? Swifties?
Swifties.
Swifties. Don't make them all angry. Come after you. The Swiftie army.
Oh God. I don't I'm sorry, Swifters.
Swifters.
Okay. Also, you clean up real well.
It's called a squad.
Oh,
shit. I don't even know.
We were going to be hybrids in both our appearance and our behavior and movement, which was so funny because you'd walk on set one day and they'd be like, oh, we have to redo the choreography. It's a little too human today. We need to make it more cat today. Or they'd be like, it's a little too cat and not enough dance. So we need to dial back the cat and make it more dance.
So she says that kind of like, how funny is that? She says that kind of like funny, but it's like, no, that sounds like no. Somebody
That's
does not. Like
confusing.
Yeah, someone is not like has a nice solid idea of what's happening.
Yeah.
Also, the choreographers if I'm not mistaken, were from the original musical. Or
choreography
reboot.
Was by Andy Blankenbuehler, who did Hamilton and In the Heights.
So they were from Broadway. They knew what they were doing. And there's this guy coming in being like, less cat, more human, or more human, less cat. And they're looking at each other like, this is this motherfucker. All right, you do it.
Well, it would just be like the same thing that we talked about for Food Fight with Ryan, who were like, what would you do if, like, you know, the director came to you and said, oh, I need this to be better. He's like, I'll just wait 3 hours, show him the same thing, and it'll be fine. That's what they should have done. Like, we just did the same dance and just showed the same thing. Oh, that was perfect.
Great toning down of the cat. That's better. It's way better.
So what did you change? No.
Nothing.
Oh, we're going to get into Tom Hooper. Okay.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Filming started in December of 2018 and went till April of 2019. So long shoot. The release date was December 20th, 2019. Not a lot of time for VFX.
No.
The press really jumped on Hooper's term of digital fur technology. So what is that?
Is that like jiggle physics?
It's Yes.
That's me working out. Jiggle physics.
Jiggle physics.
So this is a video of what you can kind of see for the VFX. The actors wore, let's say, mild motion capture suits. Nothing on the level of Avatar.
Or Food Fight.
So give you an idea. So the best way to describe the tech that they're using is kind of like phone filters, how people have those phone filters now that...
That turn you into a cat?
Yeah, so you have the phone filters that make people's faces look weird or...
Like on Snapchat and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Think of it that way, where it was supposed to just look at a person and then just put all the fur on them and make them look like a cat. That's just the layman's version of that. Obviously, it's way more complicated.
For all you kids out there.
Yeah.
Use Snapchat.
This is where...
listening to the podcast.
Yeah, right.
This is where the real shit show begins. So Tom Hooper was woefully ignorant on how visual effects are made in general. He didn't seem to understand the rendering process. So rendering means after you've blocked something out, you press render and it does all the hair, it does all the lighting, does all the reflections, and it takes hours to do that. They usually only do it for final things. So you have to figure out what it is, what it looks like before. So... think Food Fight. Like, Food Fight is what you would see a pre-render be like. Okay, the general idea is there. I like the shots. I like where this thing is looking. Now push the render where all the really fancy shit happens.
Yeah, the texturing, the lighting, the compositing, the camera, the like everything. All the things that makes it look good.
And so for every 1 second of film, that can take hours. So
that's why they have a render farm.
That's why they have render farms. Hooper didn't seem to understand that. And so he would watch these rough cuts and get furious, saying things like, what is this garbage? And I don't understand. Where's the fur? Because they're like, okay, here's the rough draft of what the cats are going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just need to make sure that it's in a good place before we do the final work on it. So he began demanding that they give him fully rendered shots before he would give notes.
That's nice.
Yeah. Whoa. So they would render out a whole scene, mm-hmm. would take weeks to render.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. And then it would start that whole process over again. Right?
Yeah.
So.
More cat-like.
Yeah.
More
so,
human-like. Yeah. Too much cat.
More human. Less human.
We will get to that. Okay. VFX work was halfway done when they discovered.
Oh, they left the lens cap on. Oh, shit.
They all looked like dogs.
What was the most infamous thing about this movie?
Oh, the buttholes.
The buttholes. Oh, my gosh.
They were like, oh, those buttholes are unsettling.
So, nobody... So, the fabled butthole cut of Cats kind of exists. It didn't really get that far. Someone programmed the digital fur technology to include an anus. So when it's looking at the body, it goes, okay, this is where the fur goes here. This is where it goes here. Here's where it looks like they got scratched, whatever. This is where the tail goes. And then they're like, and cats have butts.
And a butthole.
Put a butthole on it, right?
Cats are famous for having buttholes.
Yes, yeah. They are.
Famously. They're always showing them to you. They want you to know they have a butthole, like more than anything.
So this was not originally discussed in anyway.
Wow.
But after this was pointed out, someone was just like, whoa, what? Did I just?
Was that, was that in the stage show? Do you see buttholes in the stage show?
Any stage.
They just leave. They just leave a little bit of like the lead. They just cut a little bit out of the leotard.
That's where the mic pack is.
Yeah, exactly.
A little balloon out back there.
Yep.
So after this was pointed out, some poor fool at the VFX company had to go back through all the completed portions of the film and take out those chocolate starfishes.
But did they have an official discussion at the beginning of that all the cats were neutered? Because none of that was in there.
Oh, yeah.
They were all stray cats.
Yeah.
Way to go, wherever this was set.
I was going to say, I'm like, they have a really good, like catch and release neuter program in wherever the hell
maybe
they
that's
were.
What she was.
London.
Victoria, like, that's how they all end up there.
Oh.
They just get neutered and they get thrown into that alley.
Thrown back, yeah.
It's the beginning.
Okay, so as things progressed, Hooper becomes even more and more of a maniac. He demands to see videos of real cats performing the exact same motions.
Okay,
I have shut to up. That's first of pretty... all, you can't make a cat do shit.
And what do cats can't do?
They can't dance. Cats don't dance.
Cats don't
dance.
Cats
don't follow instructions.
No.
No.
If you ask a cat to do anything, that cat will be look at you and be like, fuck you, and then do the exact opposite.
He just spent hours watching like TikToks of people throwing cucumbers into a room full of cats. Just like freaking the fuck out.
It's great.
I mean, if you want a movie about a cat pushing a glass off of a table, I mean, you can get that footage anywhere.
Rebel Wilson did that, I think, halfway through the movie.
Oh, did she? I don't know. I was drunk.
So not only does he not know how VFX work, he doesn't know how cats work.
Apparently not.
Okay.
Well, the first, like, 2 minutes of the movie, I just remember being like, what is that? Even before they showed the cat, just all the shadows of the cats, I was like, what is that? Like over and over again.
Yeah.
There's something about the like the human form of like the knee going the other direction just makes you immediately go, what the fuck porn am I watching right now?
Yeah. This is an alien movie.
Yeah.
So Hooper refused to speak to anyone unless they were supervisors. And one by one, those supervisors would quit or refuse to work with him because he was insane.
A dick.
I'm not coming out of my room until you make that cat dance.
I've seen cats do pirouettes, I'm pretty sure.
The supervisors were like, we're dog people, bro. We're out of here. Sorry.
So according to anonymous sources, Hooper was horrible, disrespectful, demeaning, and condescending.
So like a cat.
When you would go into a conference room, you're not allowed to speak, and he talks to you like you're garbage.
Damn.
Mm.
Then he starts to send individual crew members emails insulting their work.
Whoa.
So he's just like, you, craft services person. The carrots were stale.
Well no,
more kibble, you fool.
For the VFX team.
Okay, okay.
He would just go, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like, why'd you do that? This is what supervisors are for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Craft service was the one that would be so funny. It's like, where's the goddamn meow mix?
Yeah. Meow, 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 meow.
He's like, and everybody, there's the kitty litter, and that's where you go to the bathroom.
That's where the rumors got.
That's how method the set was.
Now, excuse me while I give myself a bath.
Looking everybody. Get in line.
Everybody has to do it that way. Do not go home and take a shower. You shower here with your hands.
You lick your hand and rub your face.
Okay, trailer hits July of 2019. Cue the internet exploding.
I honestly feel like I remember the moment that that came out and being like, no, and just turning it off. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I had a similar experience, but I thought to myself, as soon as I saw that trailer, I was like, the world's coming to an end. Yeah.
And then 2020.
Oh, 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all Cat's fault.
Cats.
This is Hooper on the trailer.
I think the trailer reaction was interesting because it reminded me of what my original intention was, which was to not have the visual effects get in the way and protect the human face in the design.
Good job, I guess.
He's like, oh, yeah, it's what I meant was I wanted to see more of the human face in it. I know my email yesterday said a lot of other things, but just like refer, if you could, to the first one I sent.
Yeah, there's a chain of the emails. Just, you know, look at the back. That's so stupid because he spent weeks having him render shit.
Yeah.
And then to go back, like, you had so much focus on everything that was done and had your fingers over everything. And you was
just
fine.
Pause.
And then the trailer comes out. Yeah, his paws. His pawn. And then the trailer comes out and you're like, oh, yeah, I guess that was my bad.
Like yeah, he was so tunnel visioned and nobody was sitting there going, like Universal going, okay, no.
This looks like shit.
Are you a supervisor? I'm not talking to you.
So with the feedback from the internet, he decides he's going to adjust some of the characters for the final film. That would includes like making James Corden look a little bit more comedic. Like he gives him bigger whiskers, that kind of stuff.
Bring back the buttholes.
All the shit that they've already done, right? Mm-hmm. So it took 6 months to finalize the VFX for the trailer.
And it was perfect and everyone loved it.
Yeah. And we're all
leaving only 4 months. To complete the movie.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
So.
Even he was upset.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, no.
I'm not touching that.
He's like, listen, I made humans and cats two distinct things for a reason.
The VFX studios were putting upward to 90-hour work weeks. This is the anonymous source that spoke to the Daily Beast.
It was pure, almost slavery for us. How much work we put into it with no time, and everything was difficult. We were so rushed on the project that we'd have no time for anything. So when people say, oh, the effects were not good, or the animation's not good, or anything, that's not our fault. We have no time. 6 months to do a 2-minute trailer and 4 months to do a film of an hour and a half. My math is pretty good. You could figure that doesn't make any sense. So he was so upset about the reaction to the trailer that he just put all the effort into just making the trailer, like making the appearance of the film look better than the actual film.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
That's bonkers.
Also, yeah. Why would you not just delay the movie? Like, if it looks like hot garbage.
Right.
Like,
right?
Just delay it. Like, no one's, like, going, where is Cats? Where? Like, no one's, like, demanding
Cats. And
also,
everybody that watches the trailer isn't like, yes, perfect. The rest of the movie better be just
like that,
this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did this come out around the same time as Sonic? It had to have, right?
Getting ahead of me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we're okay. So good at this podcast.
You redeemed yourself.
Clint, we're going to get to it.
We're going to get to it. Take a shot. Okay, so this is, we're going to watch just a little bit of the trailers. The first trailer compared to what the movie actually looked like.
Oh, boy.
And you
okay.
can see that you'll be like, oh, yeah, the trailer looked better.
What it looks like is happening there is they were like, more human, and the more human is bad.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if that was a thing of like, we don't have time to do it the other way. Like, we have to have the more human version to get this
because
done.
We can't.
Well, one of the
maybe
most glaring things about them as cats is the fact that they look like they have itty bitty heads on this cat body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the body, fine, whatever. Like, they needed to make the heads bigger. And when they made it more human like, they got rid of all that extra fuzz.
Like, fur and
fur,
fluff. And yeah.
And it just made their heads look even smaller.
Yep.
They should have kept the buttholes.
Also, I imagine after they go through and do it all in the 90-hour weeks, all of the editors were recognizing that they kept human hands and that Hopper didn't realize that he hadn't changed them to paws yet and just kept them there.
Yeah, because this other shot here is a perfect example of what you're saying, Melissa. They got rid of the fur on the cheeks and stuff. And
yep.
So, she just makes me uncomfortable.
/ turned on.
Maybe.
So I know that there's kind of a lighting and a color grading situation happening here too, but like Rebel Wilson's face right there looks like a human face and not like it's white fur.
So in theory, if they didn't change the look, they could have finished it like that.
Right.
Because it was, like I said, it's just a filter that's going over them. In theory, they could have just kept going with that. But since they changed it all, then they're back to square one. After hearing so much backlash to the CGI, Hooper still defends it. Tom Hooper?
I think I found the language that I wanted, and so that extent of the journey reached its conclusion. It's very entertaining and escapist and quite anarchic and bonkers and fun, as well as moving and funny. So I hope people will see the movie.
You guys, this is fun. You guys, go see this movie I made. It's
so
super
fun.
Everybody come. I mean, there's probably those outliers out there. I was like, well, I thought it was fine, right? But there's probably people out there who came out of the movie just like hating themselves.
You mean like people who watched it or people who were involved with it?
Both. Well, so my background for this movie, watching this movie, is Lisa and I were on vacation.
You were hammered. Yes.
We were on vacation with some friends, and like, I got a great idea. Let's watch Cats and let's get drunk and do it. I'm like, all right, okay, that sounds like fun. Because my friend was like, well, I saw it sober, and I thought maybe it would be more fun if I drank.
Yes.
And
I thought the same thing. Yep.
So I asked her, I was like, so how did they compare? She's like, that was still bad.
It was still bad. I just didn't mind as much the second time.
Yeah.
So, Moving Picture Company Vancouver. Sound familiar? Who handled most of the VFX of this movie and
Sonic.
Shut down 1 week before Cats release and 2 weeks before Christmas. 800 people lost their job.
No.
They worked on this and Sonic?
Yes. These poor fools had to deal with this twice.
Bust their ass to like redo effects.
VFX was completed 48 hours before the premiere.
Jesus. Whoa. Christ.
Finished is a loose word.
I know, I was gonna say. I mean, you can kind of tell, because like that last shot, there's just, you pointed it out, of like Judi Dench sitting on the statue. It's just like a hand. Like, there's not even any. It's just like an old lady hand on a cat body.
She's got her wedding ring on it.
Yeah, and everything. Yeah.
So
there's this phrase that I use like when I'm just like in my own like work life, when I'm working on a project, and it's, I always say to myself,
Jellicle cats.
He's like pouncing around on his keyboard.
Jellicles can and Jellicles do.
Ian pokes his head up from the cubicle and across the door.
Shut the fuck up.
Clint's like,
then I get a little spray bottle. Yeah. You get a spray bottle. Get off the counter.
No, it's perfect is the enemy of done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if I'm working on a project, it's not going to be perfect, but it can be done, right?
Yeah.
But I think with this, it's just like, you guys still could have just worked a little bit more. It doesn't need to be perfect.
Well, but like, but this isn't even done, though. I don't know what this is. I get what you're saying, but it sort of doesn't apply because they did neither. It was neither perfect nor was it done.
They just had that. We found this meme on the internet. Some guy on a keyboard hissing.
I mean, really, like, it's kind of like Food Fight, where they were just kind of forced to finish it.
Yeah.
Like, and you can clearly, like, the cockroach scene, like, it just seems like they just rushed through that as fast as they could.
The mice were terrible.
Oh, for creepy.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was creepy.
They have different people coming in every day saying, no, more, that looks, cockroach, that looks like an ant. Back and forth.
More cockroach, more human.
What would a cockroach do? Get me a video.
Get me a video of a cockroach dancing in a can-can line. I need to see what that would look like.
And pop one in your mouth. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll ever try and do it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cats. 25 years.
So
100%.
Okay.
So Cats released December 20th. 2019. Day one in theaters, people are instantly noticing some glaring errors in the visual effects, from characters floating in midair to the digital fur technology not even being applied to like the background people.
You say people as if it was like an expert watching the movie, but it was 100% like a random kid that was like, Mom, why is that cat floating? Whoops, we missed one.
Yeah, right?
Were there hairless cats and characters in the show?
Thank God, no.
Those Egyptian
this led,
ones?
Yeah, because those aren't Jellicle cats.
They're unholy.
They're unholy spawns of Satan.
What the fuck is a Jellicle cat?
It's the type of cat that gets chosen to possibly move on to the
We'll jump into the cult when we get to the end. Okay, so this led to the infamous photo of Judi Dench with the human hand.
Yes.
So this went around on Twitter like crazy. She's just has that human hand. Okay. Here's the thing about this. So this was the joke that was going around, but most of their hands weren't very, there's not a lot of digital on there.
No.
She's also wearing a coat. So there is a question of whether or not that's actually what her hand is supposed to look like or not. But the version we watched yesterday still had it that way.
Yeah, they only changed it on some streaming services, it sounds like. But I don't even know if that was true. It's just something I read.
So by Monday of the release of Cats, Universal had sent revised versions of the film to theaters.
Wow.
Jesus.
So day one DLC.
Yeah. It's a day one.
Day one patch.
Good Lord.
So opening,
which is not a thing in movies.
No, it is not. Opening weekend, it was meant to be counter programming to Star Wars: Rise of Skywalker, which totally obliterated Cats.
Which one should we go to?
Yeah. Finished fourth for the weekend, even under Frozen 2's fifth weekend.
People are like, let's just go see Frozen 2 again. Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yeah, that was properly rendered.
Yeah. Rotten Tomato, critics 19%.
That's generous.
Yeah. I agree.
That's pretty generous.
And guesses on the audience score.
7.
I think I'm willing to bet a lot of people ironically like rated this up. So I'm going to say it's
like food fight.
Yeah, memories. Like the people are, yeah. So I'm going to say that like it probably has like way too high, maybe like 47.
53%.
Wow.
But I went through a bunch of those reviews and they are not ironic.
Oh my God.
They're actually people who
it's
really
grandmas.
Liked it.
It's people's grandmas.
I guess.
Like, grandmas.
I was looking for like the people like, who were being tongue in cheek.
Humans into cats.
Can you?
Susan,
the world we live in.
I just loved that. Cats.
They were like, meow, I'm a cat.
I still don't know what a Jellicle cat is.
That Taylor Swift was just delightful in the Cats.
Idris Elba got me sweating.
Yeah.
Why was he the most boring looking cat when he lost his costume? It was
it's so stupid.
Just the most generic one.
That James Corden's charming.
Yeah, we agree. That's why
I see him on the Tonight's Night show.
Tonight's Night.
Budget of $95 million.
Oh boy.
Grossed $27 million in the United States, seems again generous, and $75 million worldwide.
Wow.
Lastly, in March of 2020, James Corden and Rebel Wilson presented the Oscar for Best Visual Effects.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay.
As cast members of the motion picture Cats,
nobody more than us understands the importance of good visual effects.
So Maya Rudolph's face is kind of accurate to what we're about to talk to. So there's a screen cap of this, these two, and Jenny Ray. This is Yves McCrae, who was a visual effects artist on the film. He's responding to a clip of that shows these two.
Right, right, right. Hey, guys, I haven't watched all of the Oscars, but I assume these two were really classy and thanked me for working 80-hour weeks right up until I was laid off and the studio closed, right?
Ooh, yeah.
That's in pretty bad taste. Like,
right?
I get that they're just like, oh, we're just trying to be funny and like it's a joke. Don't worry about it. But yeah, it's like,
how do you make fun of everything you've just did and the critics without,
But it's that category. And it's like, this is the fault. The movie is the fault of the visual effects. Yeah. And they are just doing their fucking jobs.
Right. Yeah. That movie went wrong well before any visual effects work happened. That movie went wrong in the conception of the original musical. That's where that movie went wrong.
Yeah.
End of podcast.
So lastly, I just want to point out that like one thing that came up a lot that I saw was, I have not seen Cats, but that the film lacked that tongue-in-cheek kind of 80s ridiculousness of the play.
Yeah.
Like that it was big and broad and crazy and weird.
Yeah.
And the whole thing... this movie was very played straight.
Yeah. Right. It felt like they were taking themselves too seriously for this movie and it worked against them.
Yeah. The whole idea of Cats is to like let the audience have fun and be silly and be bigger than everything, and this didn't trust the audience to have a good time.
Yeah.
They just treated us like idiots. Like, if you don't, you know, do it perfectly.
Yeah.
And you didn't, and it ruined everything.
I felt like this movie was an email from Tom Hooper, to me personally, where he was just like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
My movie is great. And it's like, no, bro.
Yeah.
He directed The King's Speech.
I know. Jenny Ray looks him up and goes, Oh,
he's made good movies. He's made good movies. I was like shocked.
Well, but apparently he's
a son of a bitch.
When he did Les Mis, the whole thing was, you know, this is brand new. We're doing a musical live. We're singing live into the microphones. Nobody's ever done this before. And all the musical theater people on set are like, yeah, every night. And guess what? We don't get a call cut when we mess up.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Just record it into a studio and do this. Don't do this live. Don't make them have, you know, four microphones padded into these cat outfits just so you can say, like, we did nothing. We did this brand new. We recorded it live for an audience.
Yeah.
You're like, no, just leave that to Broadway.
Yeah.
Do it in a recording studio. CG this correctly.
Yeah. I mean, was it worth it?
I mean, you don't even have to.
Not for the hangover I had the next morning.
Not for Clint's hangover and not for my life.
Here's what was worth it about the musical. The new song that T-Swift wrote with Weber, right?
Mm.
That was beautiful. And it added a new like aspect to the storyline of Cats that brought Victoria in, that gave some like cool closure. And Jennifer Hudson did that song better than anyone who's ever done it before. So that, between the new song, which was fantastic, and Jennifer Hudson's performance, that was great. But
yeah.
Wolf. Yeah, I will add one other thing.
You mean meow.
In the the production design on it was actually really kind of fantastic. I thought it looked really cool. Like, the visual effects are obviously undone. Like, just they're kind of crappy, but there was a lot of images that were actually kind of pretty cool. Like, if it all came together, like it would have, like, you could have screenshotted those as like artwork.
It did
like
look,
it looked really cool.
It looked very painterly.
Yes. Outside of that, I have no compliments.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you about Jennifer Hudson. Like, her performance was, she was great. Like, she was heartbreaking. And I was just like, I'm so sad for her that she has to play this dumbass cat character and sing this, like, amazing song with her good
at a
voice.
Concert.
But also a character that was like, we're just constantly just being, she's a cat that went to other places, so she's a whore cat?
Yeah, she is a whore cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I was like. I was just like, but like, what are they? Because the songs were so confusing and the lyrics were so like coded and like weird
yeah.
language that I'm like, but what's even happening? Like, why is she an outcast? Because she's like, are they saying she's a prostitute? But also, like, how does that, like, why does that apply to cats? They're animals. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
We're like shaming cats yeah. for living their lives.
You know what? Stop sex and butthole shaming cats is what I'm here to say.
Listen, when there are cats outside my window, they're like fighting or some shit, like, keep me up at night. I
or
will,
sexing.
Yeah, I will 100% judge them and be like, you motherfuckers. Yeah. I will shame them.
Well, that's because, like, two cats.
Whatever, you go out there, you get drunk and watch them.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, is that
what you actually
watched?
Is that
watched? What happened when you thought you saw cats?
Yeah, I was just wandering around the streets.
That's why you didn't notice this.
I was like, oh, this cats movie's great.
He's like, wait a minute, the one I watched had buttholes.
A lot of buttholes.
No, this movie was not worth it. No. I feel so bad for those VFX artists and like those people who worked their asses off and got laid off and yeah. That just sucks.
It was
just
if they were like, oh, Broadway made so much money off of this musical that's been running forever. We could easily make tons of money off of this. And then they put it on screen. They're like, wait, why are people seeing this? We don't understand the stage.
Yeah, no. Right. Like, it's like what you said about like they got so far away from the original beginning that it was so misguided throughout that I legitimately was like, I don't like this movie throughout the entire thing. I don't care about anything that's going on. Yeah. I don't like any of these people. I felt more embarrassed by the more people that kept showing up.
Yeah.
That it was just like Judi Dench. Wow, they made a movie where Judi Dench looks bad. Ooh. Like she can't sing and she just looks like just crazy. And it was like, wow, you made Judi Dench look bad. Like that is
they made Sir Ian McKellen lap water from a bowl. Gandalf the fucking gray is like lapping up some water with his tongue.
Oh my god.
Get the fuck out of here.
How did I get here from fighting off a Balrog to now lapping up water?
I will say though that despite like every single fucking song in this movie being except for Memory and the Ghosts one being absolutely terrible and unmemorable.
Forgettable, yeah.
And unsingable, too. I did like the bit with Ian McKellen just because, like, you can't not like Ian McKellen, but also, like, you're also just like, I'm so embarrassed during this movie. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, and he looked like he was having a great time just being like, I'm a crazy cat. I got 2 minutes of this movie. Maybe they'll pick me.
Yeah, like, but
I do
but
a great
still.
Ian McKellen.
That was, yeah. That was spot on.
Spot on.
Never
the, okay, so you were saying that, like, the main actress that they cast is Victoria. They specifically cast because she was a ballerina. She's a professional ballerina. Yeah. And, like, the dancing in this was amazing. But I was also, like, again, mad because I'm just like, I can't even enjoy this dancing because they look so fucking stupid as cats.
Yeah. Like, and also, they're, like, the VFX where their heads are, like, not really
they're, like, not quite there. It's like their faces are kind of floating. And it's like, oh, my God.
Well, and all of them are supposed to be phenomenal dancers. So then you're stocking it with all of these, you know, famous people that you're then coming to see who can't dance as well as these professional ballerinas. And the whole point of the stage musical is seeing a giant production full of amazing dancers.
Well, and then on the flip side, that actress, they added a song for her character, which was not normally in the play, and she couldn't sing
very well. Yeah.
I was just like, it was fine, but like then you compare her
to
Jennifer Hudson sings her fucking face off, and then like this girl comes in, and it's like beautiful ghost. I'm like, oh no, why would they do that to you?
And she's singing it directly next to T-Swift, who was like.
Can we put my version in the credits?
Let me.
And it's different than you know, like Judi Dench or Ian McKellen, who are doing more character singing. Where you're like, it's fine; they don't have to be that good at singing. Like, whatever, that's a character song. Anyway, so it's just like it just hits I mean, not even hits. It just misses. It's all misses. Where they're just like, okay, we got a dancer, but she kind of can't sing. Okay, we got some singers, but they kind of can't dance.
This is a big crazy play, but we're gonna do it completely straight and so
totally
serious. And then the jokes in it were just like, there were parts where it was just like, I think they were just shooting Rebel Wilson off camera,
standing,
and then
on
she
the
was
side.
Just making these random jokes that they just started to throw in there.
Yeah,
and then like all like the physical humor, it was just like none of this works. This is just it to me it was borderline unwatchable. It was just like I'm don't care.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like like I said, we like didn't speak to each other for like and normally if we're,
we cried for like 15 minutes.
You went to bed angry.
Yeah. Like, normally if we're watching like a bad movie, but it's like fun bad, like we're like laughing and like talking through it, and like he and I were just
like, no, please, no.
Like, just, what am I watching right now? Like,
I tried to get my kids to watch it with me, and they're like, can we put Mario back in? I was like, yes, we can.
All right. Oh, speaking of movies that did cat humans better, Super Mario Brothers movie. Mario in a cat suit, better than this movie.
Another conversation, another day.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
Oh, did you bring something for the closet?
I did. I brought my original playbill from another Andrew Lloyd Webber musical.
From
2009. My Phantom playbill.
Look
here
at
in
you.
Utah?
Look at,
no, this is
no,
a
that's
York.
Broadway, my friend. That is a Broadway playbill. So, Ian doesn't go to the theater. He's never seen a Broadway playbill.
We got the fucking worst seats for this show. Like, we were all the way at the very top. Shoved all the way to the very like left corner, but it was still a really good show.
I bet it was better than this movie.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
You're like, I also was drunk.
Yeah, right. Oh man, I wish that'd have been such a fun trip.
I was especially
sitting in the balcony back there where the seats are like, don't move, you will fall out.
I will
of
fall,
seat.
And everyone will. I will kill people as I roll down the aisles. Yeah.
Yeah, what we did not tell everybody earlier is that Clint is wearing a full body cat suit right now.
Yeah.
Clint's closet.
He had to push his tail out of the way numerous times.
Not, kept whipping people.
Better than your tail.
But it's simultaneously a cat suit, like, looks like a cat, but it's also one of those, like, 80s rock star cat suits.
Oh, it's like
very skin tight.
Very skin tight cat suit. Yep.
You all were troopers, not acting as uncomfortable as I know you all are in this cat. Well, I'm in this cat suit.
I've had a happy this whole time.
I've been very uncomfortable. I didn't speak to Clint for the first 20 minutes of this podcast.
And I know it didn't help when I was just licking my hand and rubbing my face. I know it didn't help.
We've been all shouting.
Slurping noises. That's Clint giving him a meow. Bow.
We've been all shouting, less cat, more human, this whole time.
This is my only outfit. You don't want me to take it off.
That 5 minutes that you just went to town on your butthole was not fun.
Nope.
Especially it was awkward and I looked straight in the eyes.
While you did it.
He like did that thing that cats do where he stretched, fully stretched his leg out. He was like, how do you like this? Huh?
Ew.
All right. We got some follow-up from shitheads.
So there was just a big one that I got just recently from Soul Says to Mabel, pointed me to a blog post by Ken Levine, who was a writer on MASH, Simpsons, Frasier, and Cheers. So in this blog post, he talks about his work on Jewel of the Nile. Romancing the Stone screenwriter Diane Thomas was busy writing for Spielberg, so Mark Rosenthal and Lawrence Connor wrote the script for Jewel of the Nile. This is the one that Kathleen Turner like truly hated.
Mm-hmm.
And in our episode, I mentioned that Michael Douglas talked to Thomas about some ideas and hired an unknown script doctor. Well, this was Daniel Isaacs and Ken Levine. They did the rewrite. So they get the second and third act in a good place, but are struggling with the first. So they call up Diane Thomas to help them because she came up with these characters, like why she should have some input.
Yeah, she knows.
And so she's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. But she only can do it on weekends. They get some ideas from her. They finish, have to get the script translated into French so the Moroccan government can approve it. So there's a lot of like leeway time that's happening while production is just about to start. At this point, Douglas asked them to join them on set, but they had started a project with Mary Tyler Moore, so they were busy. So much to the surprise of those writers, Douglas then rehired Rosenthal and Connor instead. So the guys that wrote the original script that,
oh, that Turner hated.
So they start to reinstate their original version back into the script, which is what Turner was reading on the plane when she was like bitching about it.
Oh.
Remember, she was like on the plane going, what is this bullshit? Yeah. And they were like two rows back.
Hiding their faces. And they put their newspapers up.
And this was the combination of those scripts. Remember the grab bag script about how they were like, we were joking that they just threw up all the pages. We're like, let's do this one.
Those money grab tanks.
Yeah. Money grab, script grab.
As Levine says, I defy anyone to explain the plot of Jewel of the Nile.
I tried.
So and he goes into a little sad territory in there. But the infamous thing about Diane Thomas's story was that she was this screenwriter that just suddenly came out of nowhere to do Romancing the Stone and was working with Spielberg on two different projects, and she died in a car accident, remember? Mm-hmm. And this was in the Porsche that Michael Douglas bought her. Now, according to the sources that were everywhere I read, said that was a gift to her for the success of Romancing the Stone. But Levine said Douglas gifted it to her for helping on Jewel of the Nile. So Levine feels some incredible amounts of guilt for pulling her into that movie.
Oh, it's not your fault, Levine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So what's the blog, though? So you said
that's Ken Levine's blog post. He explains all of that.
No, I know, but like, what's the name of his blog?
Oh, it's just kenlevine.com.
Levine the life? Living the life? Levine La Vida Loca? Come on, Ken Levine. Get creative with your titles. You're a writer. I believe in you.
All right.
If you want us to read your review on this podcast, then leave us a review. Go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a review or a comment.
And if you want to hear extended versions of this podcast, you can join Patreon, where we cut out a lot of us just fucking around. A lot of weird conversations that happen that we're like, maybe that director's cut.
Yeah, so if you want the director's cut, check us out on patreon.com/itwasashitshow.
Thank you so much for listening. It Was a Shit Show is researched and produced by me, Ian Jench. Sound editing and mix by Ray Reynolds. Our theme music is by Ryan K. Hudson. Wardrobe provided by Clint's Closet. If you're enjoying the show, you can support us on Patreon or help spread the word by leaving a review and forcing your friends and family to listen. And if you have a shit show suggestion, find us on social media at It Was a Shit Show, but shit without the I. You can also find all these episodes on our YouTube channel.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.